Welcome to another edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Before we get into the fun of Turnbuckle Trash, we have to talk about real life once again. One of the all-time greats, Harley Race, passed away at the age of 71 of lung cancer. Back in 1961, a young Harley Race was in a very serious automobile accident that killed his wife, and he sustained serious injuries. Throughout the years, tag team titles, along with Larry the Axe Henning, the NWA title 8 times, the King of the Ring in the WWE. Harley Race will be missed, one of the all-time greats. And as we have a tradition, when one of the greats passes away here on Turnbuckle Trash, we like to salute them with the 10 bells. Coming up on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk to Zane Peterson, who hasn't been with us for a couple of weeks, but he'll be talking about SummerSlam and becoming kind of like a part-time fan. We'll have that coming up with Zane. Chris on the mat joins us. He's actually cooking while we're talking. It's a lot of fun. We're going to talk SummerSlam. We're going to talk All Elite Wrestling and what's going on there. A little bit of independent scene, too, because I'm going indie this weekend. Hang on, because here we go. It's another edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
It's Turnbuckle Trash, the two guys out of three that are here with us today, and we will be talking to Chris a little bit later on in this program, Chris on the mat. But right now, it's Zane O'Mac joining us. Zane, you missed out last time. What's going on?
Have you officially sent Chris through the initiation process?
I dare say. What is the initiation process?
He has to spend 37 days straight with Ajay.
That is cruel and unusual punishment. By the way, Ajay's birthday is coming up this week. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that.
Yeah. And we talked to him the other day at work, and he misses being on the pod, so he's going to join us again pretty soon. So
I like that. I like little Ajay. Yeah. He's a nice fella.
Isn't he a nice young man?
Dave, I catch myself becoming a casual fan these days.
A casual fan of wrestling?
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Why, pray tell, he asked with bated breath.
Okay, my job, Dave, I do, you know, I don't know if everybody on a podcast knows, but I'm an HVAC technician, and HVAC technicians, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I can actually snort refrigerant and then fart snowballs.
I think you can.
I think I saw you do it one time.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what everybody expects, isn't it?
But boy, it's been hot down here. And so I have been, and I think we talked about how I started this new job. And boy, oh boy, it has been busy. I've been all over the place. I've been Delta, Deseret, Circleville, Panguitch, all these towns through Utah in the southern central area of Utah, all over, just running my guts out.
And if you've been to Circleville, you've been to the big city, my man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So why are you a casual fan? Just because you're so busy right now?
So busy, Dave. It's been hot, and so I've been running my tail off, and then I get home, and I'm spent.
So are you going to be able to watch SummerSlam this weekend?
That's what I was going to say. But I've got a plan. So April, May, June, July, August. So when do we kind of enter the road to WrestleMania? I mean, is SummerSlam like the middle ground, or
right after the first of the year, actually. Yeah, so we're right now at SummerSlam, and then we got several months as the WWE would be trying to get better programming because All Elite is starting in October, and SmackDown is moving over to Fox Sports 1.
So speaking of better programming, let's talk about that for a second, okay?
Oh, please.
I want to play a clip from our friend, okay? He is we've had him on the podcast before. He's our Australian friend, that wrestling guy.
That wrestling guy?
Let's listen to him.
So, it seems that the next Roman Reigns storyline involves a rogue, out of control, insane, unknown forklift driver. That's right. Forklift driver. This is an angle. This is a storyline for the biggest star in the company. A forklift driver who knocked over a beam. Whoa, don't get too far from PG, guys. You just had Seth Rollins coughing up blood on Raw. And now you've got a rogue forklift driver. Slow down. Calm down. It's too much.
Yeah, he can drive any forking thing he wants to drive. That's what I say. So
I did get a laugh out of that pretty good, because my favorite part is he says, oh, a storyline.
This is a storyline.
Wow. Slow down, guys.
Well, they had the storyline with Roman Reigns, and then there was this week's Raw. Zane, I'm gonna save you 3 hours. Don't bother with this week's Raw. It was awful.
But this is the Raw before SummerSlam, dude.
It was awful. I even told my wife this afternoon. They're getting ready to go to SummerSlam, and I was sitting there and I was fast forwarding through stuff, and I was going, "Come on, give me a." I'm sorry. I really did get very angry at how poorly Monday Night Raw was put together. It was, and you know me, I don't like to completely bash what they're doing. The best thing that they did during the whole night was Samoa Joe cutting a promo at the beginning, standing on the announce table. And then it went downhill from there. It was nasty.
Okay. I got to get one thing off my chest, and then I want to, when we can talk about SummerSlam. Why is Goldberg back? I like Goldberg. He's a great, he's cool, but.
Think about it.
Why?
How bad did he perform at that Saudi Arabia show? He's trying to save face. And this is the way the WWE is letting him come in and go against a great pro, not a good pro, a great pro in Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, so it's going to be a squash match. So
yeah, probably.
Well, but that's what Ziggler signed up for, didn't he? I mean, when he renewed his contract, it was basically to be a squash to put everybody over that was in the ring with him.
He was going to be the one that put people over. So I don't know.
It's just too bad because he's so good.
Uh huh.
This is kind of like the Legends, miniature Legends pay-per-view we've got. So before we get into SummerSlam, let's. I'm gonna pass it back to you.
Okay.
You tell me what you think. But just you go from here, and then we'll go into SummerSlam.
Okay.
I'm confused, Dave. I'm just really confused, and so I need your help.
Okay. I am confused also because of the last probably 3 to 4 programs on WWE, on the USA Network, Raw and SmackDown, have been pretty good. They've been better than average, and a couple of them were really good. Even Raw, even that three-hour piece of forklift driving that is Raw. And they've been entertaining. They've had great feuds. They've had brawls. But now, as they're getting that coming home show, stupid storylines start developing. They don't push people the correct way. They do boring Lesnar. I mean, Mr. Boring in the Bank, now the Universal Yawning Champion, beats up Seth Rollins every chance he gets and says, "Well, I get beat up every week, but is it worth it? Yeah, and I'm going to win at SummerSlam. I don't care. Come on, you know." Right at this point, I'm saying, come on, Brock, beat his head in again. Make it a squat. I just don't like Brock Lesnar. And right now, the way they're writing Seth, I don't like it either. So I'm confused about doing too.
I don't like what they're doing with Seth right now either. I can't figure out. He's like this uber baby face, and it's almost like he's having a hard time with the character. Like he can't. Seth's just one of those guys that needs to just shut up and wrestle. You know, it's just, I get tired of hearing him whine, and I get tired of hearing him whine when he's a heel. He whines when he's a face. You know, every week he comes out and he'll get on the mic and he'll tell everyone in the arena that he is the best damn champion the WWE has ever had.
And he's going to burn it down.
Was that pretty close?
That was pretty close, yes. It was, yes.
I'm just a little confused right now.
I can tell.
So let's talk for a sec. We got Brock versus Seth.
Okay.
I give it like a half a star, and I haven't even seen it.
You're giving it more of a star than I would, because right now I don't care.
Really?
I don't care. I don't care about this match. When I'm watching it on Sunday night or the next Monday or on the network, it's going to be one of those that I might fast forward to because I just don't care about that match. It has no interest to me in the least. Honestly, I mean,
and the build has been terrible for it.
Well, that too, and that has something to do with the way they put the belt on Brock Lesnar. That's why I don't like it. I mean, still, you know, Mr. Money in the Bank, he won that. They never explained how he won the Money in the Bank. And then they just kind of let it go out. And then Brock comes in, cashes in the Money in the Bank contract, which he did not legitimately win, nor did they ever explain how he won that legitimately. They didn't finish up the storyline. They did not make that storyline work because they left out part of it. It's just like it goes from A, B, C, H. You know, they just left out a big gap in the storyline that, to be frankly, offends my intelligence. And I'm not that intelligent. Did that make sense?
It made more sense than I've been able to make of the whole situation.
Yeah, I agreed.
I'm tired of Brock, dude. I think, tell me what your, okay, reach deep down into that shiny leather, whatever, that sack you got there, that was a little plush sack, and then you got your crystal ball in there.
Yes, I do. It's not in the crown royal bag either, because I don't drink either, so
there you go. Not?
No.
But it would be kind of like a crown.
It would kind of look like a crown royal bag, yeah.
It's probably purple.
Yeah, it's purple. Because I love purple.
We always talk about the crystal ball here on Ron. You know, you're kind of like basically almost a genie. You know, you're large and in charge and
I'm a big old fat genie. That's right. I'm a big old fat genie. Yeah. Talk to your genie, baby.
I'm glad that you can make light of your weight and not get offended, you know.
Now, what was that term you used about me earlier today?
Oh, Dave, that is not a term. This is something that is that you should put next to your employee profile at work or something like that. I mean, you should put this on your social media. That Dave, you know, you say all the time on the podcast, you say, I'm a big guy. I would not classify you as a big guy, Dave. I would classify you as athletically overweight.
I've never heard that term before,
but I like it.
Well, think about it, Dave. You know, you're pretty much almost as fit as a fiddle. I mean, you are the women's pet and the men's regret.
Yeah, styling and profiling.
You've got it. You're there, Dave.
I'm too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
You've got your pretty lady there sitting by your side. You've got a maid, man. Maid in the shade.
As Wolfman Jack would say, yeah, baby, got it. Maid in the shade, baby.
Got you going again.
Thank you. Okay, Dave. Okay, so the crystal ball.
Okay.
What is it telling us is going to happen with this Lesnar-Rollins situation? Mostly Lesnar. How much freaking longer can people put up with this?
My crystal ball is a little bit hazy at this time, but I will make a prediction that this Sunday, Seth Rollins will find a way to win because he's been promising he will win. And he's been beaten up by Mr. Boring in the Bank, Mr. the Universal Yawning Champion. And I actually saw this one on Facebook today. Somebody says they're kind of going the Avengers Endgame with this storyline. Looks like all hope is lost, and then Seth will find a way.
I don't think Seth's worthy. I'll just tell you right now. Seth's not worthy.
Seth's not worthy. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to happen. But I think, like I said, probably 5 minutes ago, I just don't care, to be honest. That is one match that if I don't see, I'm not going to worry about. Just not going to worry about it.
You're going to take a bathroom break? Okay, so is it going to be a squash match, or is it going to be a real match, do you think? I'm betting squash. Like, not really. Maybe not squash match, but I'll bet you it doesn't go longer than...
Oh, it won't go very long. There'll be some kind of roll-up, or Seth will find a chair, or he'll bring in some brass knucks or something. He'll find a way, but he'll be being beat on for a while, and then maybe Becky comes out and throws, you know, the brass knuckles in, and he pops Brock Lesnar in the head, and I don't know. I just it's not something I even really care about at this point.
So next, this is an interesting feud, I find. I don't know. I don't like the build. I kind of think the card for SummerSlam is very weird this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of mismatches and a lot of weird stuff going on. So, Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton.
I'm intrigued by that one, but my intrigue lies in what happened years ago with Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton and a great feud that kind of jump-started Kofi Kingston's career. And I loved that feud back then when Kofi Kingston destroyed Randy's car that he was been given. I just thought that was a great feud. So that is one aspect of that particular match that does intrigue me. But there are others on the card that I think get me more excited.
I hope that Randy wins. I wouldn't mind seeing him hold the belt a few more times before he gets too old.
Yeah, I think that I wouldn't have a problem with that in the least, not one bit. As long as it's a good match.
Randy's one of those guys that he's always, it's to me, he seems like he's always, you can always count on him.
He's a pro.
You know, whether it's to put somebody over or whether it's to have a quality match or whether it's like, oh crap, we're out of ideas. What are we going to do? Call Randy.
Yeah.
You know,
RKO out of nowhere.
He's one of those guys that is just, I mean, Randy could be off TV for 2 years and come back and win the WWE championship and it wouldn't hurt my feelings the slightest bit.
Oh, you know? Me too.
I mean,
he's a professional. He does his job, does it well. And he's almost equally as good as a face as he is a heel. He's a better heel, but I kind of like him as a face also.
Yeah. You know, I was excited for Kofi to win. I mean, that was a cool when he won the championship. That was cool and all that stuff, you know. But I honestly don't think he's carried it very well. I don't know. It seems like a lot of the champions right now are just really, really lackluster. Like, it's like, you know, you used to be excited when you'd see the WWE champion come out of the, you know, out of the back and walk down the ramp. And now it's just kind of like, oh, well, there's Brock. Oh, it's Kofi. Kofi's cool, you know.
Too many championships.
Yeah.
That's.
What does that mean?
You've got Universal Champion. Then you've got the WWE Champion. Then you've got the USA, the U.S. Champion. You got the Intercontinental Champion. The 24/7 Champion. Too many champions. If those championship belts made you a contender for the bigger belt, would make better sense to me. Except for the 24/7, which of course was this week won. Well, see, Maria Canales was the pregnant 24/7 champion. Mike Canales pinned her to win the 24/7 champion. And then R-Truth was dressed like a woman in the OBGYN department, and he pinned Mike Canales after pretending like he was pregnant and his water broke and threw out a baby doll. It was a convoluted mess. I've loved the 24/7 championship. This was a mess.
Okay, let's just wait.
What?
I wouldn't say you love the 24/7 championship. I'd say you love what R-Truth usually does for the 24 championship. You mean the 48-7 European title?
Yeah, the 48-7 European title, 7-Eleven channel. He's called it every name in the book, man. He's great. But I like Drake Maverick as a champion, too. I thought he did a good job doing some comedy there.
That was a fun little angle with the wedding. And that was kind of fun.
But the baby thing didn't work. Pregnant thing didn't work. Can't hit a home run every time.
No. Like most things on the WWE. Like SummerSlam in general.
Yeah, SummerSlam in Toronto. In Toronto, Canada.
Toronto?
A well-known summer destination, Toronto. Nothing against Toronto. As a matter of fact, I found a great comedy bit about the city of Toronto.
I went to Toronto recently, which is a very nice, very clean city. But there's something maybe a little wrong. There may be something slightly wrong up there. They have a shoe museum. Okay. I was in the hotel and I saw it in the pamphlets in the hotel at Toronto Shoe Museum and I just took it. I just went, and I took it and I went up to my room and put it on the bed and then I just paced. For I was troubled by the presence of a shoe museum because it forced me to ask a very burning question. Would my body be able to physically survive the amount of dope I would need to smoke in order to visit a shoe-seum?
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris
on the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
It's time to go to North Carolina because the man who is actually cooking while we're talking, no, he's not in the stitching, he's at the barbecue grill. It is Chris on the mat. How you doing, Chris?
It's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem, and the ribs have just been put on the grill, and hopefully they stay that way. So we'll find out here shortly. Just cook, baby, cook, and make it quick.
Well, I tell you what, you got some barbecue ribs. I've got Pando waiting for me in just a few minutes. So this might be a short little segment here, but I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, we haven't talked in a couple of weeks, and we're getting ready for SummerSlam, getting ready for NXT TakeOver in Toronto. So I thought I'd get in touch with you. We'll get our little podcast going. But before we do anything, we need to acknowledge the death of one of the all-time greats, the great Handsome Harley Race, the eight-time NWA champion, the former King of the Ring in the WWE. This literally was a legitimate tough guy and a legend. What do you remember about Harley Race?
Oh, my gosh. King Harley Race, when he was in the WWF, is what I remember. But my most favorite match of all time is always with him and Ric Flair in the steel cage when it was the Flair for the Gold.
Ooh, yeah.
Flair for the Gold. And that match was phenomenal. Those two put on a barn burner, a slobber knocker, and it's one for the ages. Please, everybody, look up Ric Flair versus Harley Race, Flair for the Gold. And you will see a match that has a story inside the match, inside that ring. Because it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, just perfect.
That was one of the things that I've always felt about Harley Race. He was one of those that really told a good story inside the ring. Plus, he was as good as anybody cutting promos. A lot of people think that some of his promos are the best ever.
Well, the one that I shared on a Facebook page, I mean, that was probably one of the best promos that I have ever seen Harley Race ever do. But you also knew that when he was on the mic, you could tell that this man believed everything that he said. And he had that surly, growly voice. And
this is the world's heavyweight title. And when I say this, I mean it in all sincerity. The world's heavyweight title held by Harley Race, not once but twice. Over half of my life devoted to what I do better than any other human being in wrestling. I am not going to allow any human being to insult me or this. And when I say that, I mean it in dead sincerity. When I walk in that ring, I'm walking in there as world's heavyweight champion. I'm walking in there to defend what I hold probably more close than any other man has ever held. This is my life. You've heard your Ric Flairs talk about being cock of the walk. You've heard your Thunderbolt Pattersons. You've heard them all, Ole Anderson. They all talk about being the man. Flair parades around saying that he is the ultimate man. Well, buddy, this is symbolic of being everything that any human being ever wanted to be. That man is Harley Race. And for one of those individuals that I've mentioned, or the various others, to beat me, then let them walk around and claim to be what they are. You're looking at the world's heavyweight champion, the man that can truthfully say that he can beat any man in the world.
He was a big son of a gun, but he was a tough son of a gun too. But he was agile in the ring, and it's so sad that he passed away at this age, but what was it, cancer?
Yeah, it was cancer that took Harley Race. The thing, you know, I'm going to be silly here because a few years ago, I actually did something because of Harley Race and my admiration for the man. He would always, for a long time, he would come out either clean shaven or he would have what I like to term a whaler's mustache. It would almost be a full-grown beard, but the chin area would be exposed. And because I liked that so much because of Harley Race, for about 2 years, I had the same type of beard. I don't know if my wife liked it too much, but I thought it was cool. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed Harley Race. I actually went to a match against Jerry the King Lawler at the Mid-South Coliseum between those two WWE Hall of Famers, and it's something I'll always remember. The great Harley Race gone from us way too early.
Yes, he was.
So let's move on. You know what's coming up this weekend? We've got a big WWE weekend because we've got, NXT, come on. NXT TakeOver Toronto is going to be great.
Oh, yes, it will be.
That best 2 out of 3 with Gargano against Adam Cole, baby. Mm. I can't wait for that. Although, I'm going to have to wait for that because I can't see it live on Saturday night. Because I, your humble Turnbuckle Trash host, Dave Dutton, will be in Salt Lake City watching Devotion Championship Wrestling. I can't wait. I'm going to go down and go see the guys, hopefully catch a couple of interviews, maybe talk to Marlon Bishop again. What a great interview he was. He is just a beast. Tom Chad and our friend Andrew Sowell, they're feuding right now. And, hey, Tombstone Jesus? Tombstone Jesus is going to be there, and I can't wait. I am really looking forward.
That sounds like it'll be a great, sounds like a good card.
Yeah, so if you know, if you're just listening to us and you don't know what I'm talking about, it's an independent promotion out of Salt Lake City. They do have a YouTube channel. It's very good. Follow them on social media. Zane and I talked about this earlier, and I'm going to get this to you too. If you can follow them on social media, they actually build their storylines on social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and that is really cool. They're building their storylines through social media. I like that.
I've seen some Devotion matches, and I've been on the edge of my seat watching them. I like it.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Got some good storylines. There's some iffy things about it. I mean, they got too much. They got a little bit of comedy in their matches, but you know what? Everybody does these days. But I can't judge. I'm not going to judge an organization on that. They all do that.
Yeah.
Just like Goldberg.
We'll get into that in a few minutes. But as we were talking about NXT TakeOver in Toronto, I'm really looking forward to the Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano match because I'm a fan of both of these guys. But another one I'm looking forward to is the NXT Women's Championship match with Shayna Baszler against Mia Yim. And Mia Yim has turned out to be kind of mean recently. So,
good Lord, she has been.
Oh, I kind of like that one. That's going to be fun. And then when you get the Velveteen Dream versus the Bruiserweight and Pete Dunne taking on Roderick Strong for the North American Championship in a triple threat. I like it.
I'll pick Pete.
You're going to do it with the Bruiserweight, huh?
Yeah. You got it right.
I mean, you remember Extreme Rules a couple weeks ago? Did they have Extreme Rules?
No,
but here you got a triple threat. You've got a 2 out of 3 falls match. They might even throw in some more. And then in the SummerSlam, they have Extreme Rules, but Extreme Rules only had 3, so they've got to get rid of that pay-per-view. I'm sorry.
Jeez. Yes, they do.
It just drives me crazy. They call it Extreme Rules, and
there's nothing there.
Yeah. So now you brought up the point, and I wanted to get your opinion because you have strong opinions about what's going to take over at SummerSlam when you have Dolph Ziggler taking on, surprise, surprise, Bill Goldberg.
Why? Okay, it was supposed to be Shawn Michaels. We all know this, but Shawn wasn't able to do it. So they bring in this guy that screwed up a match with The Undertaker. And now, will it be a squash match?
I would bet.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
He's going to go in there, he'll spear him, he'll jackhammer, and that's it. One, two, three, it's over.
Yeah.
And now he signed an extended contract with the WWE.
He has?
Yes, he has.
I figured he'd be going off into the sunset after what happened in Saudi Arabia.
No, he signed another exclusive deal with the WWE for about two more pay-per-views. So let's see what else they're going to bring.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they did this this reunion show a couple of weeks ago, it got huge ratings.
Yes, it did.
And it was better than their Raw 1000. And they even showed a little bit more this past Monday night on the Raw reunion show, which is fine. Because I kind of enjoyed it, but are they starting to lean too much on these legends? I mean, you've got Trish Stratus takes on the Queen, Charlotte Flair, another legend. Are they just leaning too much on the legends and not letting these younger guys really develop themselves?
Well, I think that one of the new superstars has said that they're pushing the old talent and pushing the new talent to the side. And, you know, it is funny how this is actually what is going on. I mean, all we've been seeing are these old legends come back and just dismantle these new kids and not giving them a chance to shine in the ring. And SummerSlam should be a heck of a card. And to me, it's not.
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed in it myself. I think that when you have Ricochet and AJ Styles, that might steal the show, and then Bayley against Ember Moon. I'm really interested in those two matches, but I think I told Zane earlier in the podcast, Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. Excuse me, I might fast forward through that whole thing.
Yeah, I have no desire to watch it. I have no desire to see this.
Now, your friend Mike Calvin, who you've known years and years and years. Mm-hmm. He's a Brock Lesnar fan. Remember when we had him on the podcast with us?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah. He says he's more of a Brock Lesnar fan than I guess we are. And there's a lot of people, I guess, that are out there that really do get into this part-time champion. But I still, to me, as a true wrestling fan, Brock Lesnar hurts the business with this part-time champion stuff. If he's going to be more involved this coming year, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I still got a bad taste in my mouth for him. I really do.
You signed this multi-million-dollar contract, but in the stipulations it said that you can come and go as you please. Yeah, he's an attraction, but he's also an attraction for bad taste, bad vibes. He's a cancer in the locker room. Nobody likes him. He thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread or double stuffed Oreos, whatever you prefer.
Mmm, Oreos.
There you go. Let's have them deep fried.
Yes. Oreos.
But I just can't stand to look at the man. I can't stand that voice. I can't stand the hair. I hate the whole body of him. if I could have an egg, I'd throw at him. Hopefully, you would hit him right in the eye, and he would lose his Universal Championship. Let him go to Area 51 real quick. Let him defend it there.
He could do that.
Why put this belt back on this man that is the biggest snooze fest in all of wrestling?
I'll give you two words, or maybe
Money?
Two words. No, The Advocate.
Yes,
Paul
that's
Heyman.
True.
He makes Brock Lesnar. I still love Paul's promos. But honestly, on Monday Night Raw this week, I started fast-forwarding through his promo. And once again, let me say it's nothing personal against Brock Lesnar. I've just never been a fan, and the way they're using him right now doesn't even he's doing. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I could care less if Brock Lesnar wins. And then with this situation with Seth Rollins getting the holy double stuffed Oreo stuffed out of him every week.
Mm-hmm.
It
was boring.
I think so too.
It was boring the first time after it did. Yeah. After a couple of F5s on that chair, even my stomach was hurting, but then you take him out of the ambulance and the fake blood is coming out of Seth's mouth and he picks him up and does another F5 on him. Okay. Boring.
Yeah. I just don't get it. And if you're a fan, you disagree with us, hey, more power to you. That's hey, God bless America. That's what we're supposed to be able to do. But of course, social media says we can't have an opinion. So
Of course not.
But
of course.
Okay. Let's move on, because you've got, I think, a very interesting match with Kofi Kingston against the Viper, Randy Orton. I'm liking that one.
Well, if he got over his wife giving him the RKO, I guess Randy's going to be okay after that. Out of nowhere, that was amazing there. I loved it. I'm very interested in what this match is going to be. I see that Randy won't win the title because he's got a lot of problems with his neck. So Kofi will probably win. Kofi will probably win the title in SummerSlam. Keep that, he'll retain, but I'm hoping Randy might win, just to say, hey guys, it's time to take your title from you, Kofi. You've had a great run. Thank you for being a champion, but now we're gonna put it on him. And I mean, does Kofi bring in money?
Yeah, I don't know what to say, but there's a lot of people that are saying that when Kofi was had the belt and Seth had the belt, that attendance was down, ratings were down. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what a lot of people were saying. So I'm going to kind of change pace here just a little bit and go back to what is going on with creative in the WWE. Now, we had the situation when Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff were announced to be taking over the respective programs. And, of course, the first 2 weeks after supposedly Paul was in charge, Monday Night Raw was great. I thought there was really good stuff. And then we had this week, which out of the three-hour programming, there was about an hour of entertainment.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you said that you liked the Bray Wyatt moment. I didn't. You know what? After the third time that the lights have gone out, we all know what's fixing to happen. And now he's using that mandible claw like crazy.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't. Okay, the shine, the luster has gone off this. To me, it has. But, I mean, the Firefly Funhouse is fun to see every day. Wowie Zowie or whatever the heck he says.
Mm-hmm. And but, do the Muscle Man dance. You got to do that.
Muscle Man dance. Well, I don't have no muscles anymore, so I can't do that. The only thing that I really liked, and you did too, was Samoa Joe's promo.
Yeah, I thought Samoa Joe was stellar at the beginning, and then that the incident with Roman Reigns being hit by the car. Liked it. I liked that part. That was very entertaining. But I'm going to go to my main complaint for the whole night, and it has nothing to do with Brock Lesnar. I've already complained enough about Brock Lesnar. It has to do with the Viking Raiders. Come on.
Lord.
This is a great tag team. And they are doing the same thing with them that they did with so many other tag teams in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just using them against local talent, having squash matches that mean absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. The fans are sitting there just sitting on their hands and not getting into it. And then Vince and them are going to say, well, the fans aren't into them. Well, let them get against the New Day. Let them get against the Usos. Let them do something. And I'm just worried that they're really going to ruin the Viking Raiders, who I've been a fan of for years since their ROH days.
Well, I've loved the Viking Raiders. I thought they were a phenomenal tag team, and they were going to be like this, you know, like the Legion of Doom. But now it's gone to the Legion of Snooze. What are y'all doing? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Why do they do this continually every time? They build up a tag team, and then they just drop off.
Well, they did that the exact same thing with the Ascension. They did the exact same thing with the Ascension.
Yes, they did.
And they put them in squash matches and then had them cutting down the Legends. And come on, you know, give me a break. It is just absolutely something that maybe I'm out of touch that I don't get. I just don't get. Because I'm just looking here right now, and they said SmackDown viewership was up going into SummerSlam. A big increase, too. So, I don't know.
I hope so, because SmackDown needed something that night.
So I can't say anything. I haven't watched SmackDown from this week going into SummerSlam. I've enjoyed SmackDown recently about what's going on there. But hey, what can we say? I mean, it's the WWE. I'm just concerned for the Viking Raiders. To be honest with you, I am really concerned about what they're going to be doing with this team.
Well, like we've always said, Vince McMahon doesn't care about tag team wrestling. Vince McMahon only cares about Vince. That's it. And he's never liked tag team wrestling. So he's going to bury these guys more than likely. And then when the contract's up, they'll go back to Ring of Honor or they'll go to the new competition. Who knows what's going to happen with these people?
Well, there is some good news. I'm kind of interested in seeing what's going to happen coming up on this coming Monday on the USA Network, because we're going to have the premiere of Straight Up Steve Austin.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that is going to be cool. That's going to be where Steve Austin takes other celebrities, and they go around doing things like riding in monster trucks, and he's going to have Daryl Earnhardt Jr., country music actor Trace Adkins. I love Trace Adkins. That voice mm-hmm. is.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Trace Adkins. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
Becky Lynch
voice.
Is going to be there. Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. the NFL quarterback. And they're going to be doing all kinds of crazy things and doing interviews while they're doing that. I think it's a good concept. I think Steve has the personality to pull this off. Straight Up Steve Austin is going to be premiering on the USA Network, and that will be on the 12th of August. I'm looking forward to it.
Every time he does a TV show, it always gets picked up for another season, no matter what it is.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that the last one he had was the Broken Skull Ranch, which I thought was an awesome show.
That was fun. Yeah, that was fun. It was a competition, so yeah.
I mean, it was on location. He didn't have to go very far where he was heading off to. He's got his podcast that everyone loves to get on. He had Hulk Hogan on there. That would have probably been a snooze fest right there. So. And you heard about the new news about Hulk Hogan never wrestling again.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Went in for one back surgery, and it turned into having 9 back surgeries. So, you know, I'm still wrestling, but as soon as they cut on my back, it was game over. I went to a place called Laser Spine. They cut on me 6 times, and they basically took me out of the game. They cut so much bone away, and things went awry. Well, after they told my new wife, Jennifer, I'd never walk again after the 6th surgery, it took me 3 more 12-hour surgeries to get up on my feet and rolling again. I was down about 1.5 years. But all that being said, I'm pretty darn cool. I can't wrestle again, but I'm really cool other than this darn arthritis is kicking in.
With all the surgeries and the laser surgery for his back, I mean, landing on your butt that many times for a leg drop that nobody could ever sell. Yeah, I mean, I can understand why these days. He's never going to wrestle again, but that doesn't stop him from saying brother, brother, brother about 60,000 times.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
So, it doesn't surprise me. And then, you know, he'll just make an occasional appearance, especially when they do the Saudi Arabia show again. And I understand that Saudi Arabia Prince asked for Owen Hart to come to the show this year.
Yes.
Can you believe that? Where does this guy get his information from? He's supposed to be this wrestling fan, and huh?
Well, they were asking for a lot of, like, they were asking for Sergeant Slaughter and the Iron Sheik, and they were asking for all these old wrestlers to come back, and they had to tell them, look, this one's dead. This one's in a nursing home. And this one, he can't even walk. And if he does, we have to give him all kinds of drugs just to get him inside the ring. No. So I don't know. See, that's what the Saudi prince loves. He's probably seen old tapes and he's thinking, I want to see this guy live. That's what he wants. But I got one question for you. How do you like the Twitter war that's going on between Chris Jericho and the one from NXT?
Matt Riddle?
Uh-huh. Okay. That tells me a lot right there.
Let me tell you something about Matt Riddle.
Go for it.
I've watched him several times in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He can go. They depend too much on his MMA background for what he does. I mean, he does the ground and pound, and he'll just pound on people's head. That's not wrestling, guys. I mean, that's my problem with Matt Riddle. But his character. I mean, I talked about it with Zane earlier in the podcast, he's Jeff Spicoli. I mean, basically, he comes out from, and he, you know, he just, he's got the long blonde hair. He's got the surfer dude attitude, you know, and you're going, hey, bud, let's party. Can't they change his character just a little bit? And maybe that's who the man is, you know, but for him to be doing all this stuff, he's done the same thing between with Goldberg. He's done some nasty comments toward other wrestling legends and some of the older guys. I think he's just, you know, he's trying to make a name for himself. You know, and can you blame the guy for trying to make a name for himself?
Nope, not a bit.
Uh-huh.
Not a bit, but that's the last person you want to make your name about when he was working for the competition.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, some of Y2J's comebacks have been absolutely hilarious. Dressing up just like him with a double chin and saying dude, but this guy needs to, this guy needs to just go away. He's not a wrestler. Your ex-MMA, your MMA career didn't go so well. So you came over here. You're not going to be a champion, and you say you're going to be the one that retires Brock Lesnar.
Give me a break.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'd rather see Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, but that's just me.
It would be kind of funny if this dude hits the ring with Seth and Brock's match at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's supposed to be called up to the main roster soon.
Oh, please, no.
I know. You see, here's the thing, though. All these NXT stars, they want to stay with NXT. They don't want to go to the main roster because they know it's fixing to happen.
Yeah.
We'll never be heard from again.
Bury me not on Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Bury me not on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand it. Why is the... I don't know.
Well, you know, that's still the possibility. I heard there was a possibility on Fox Sports that they might expand their wrestling programming, even to the point of possibly bringing NXT to broadcast TV. I don't know. And I love NXT. I do. I think NXT is one of the hot programs out there right now.
I love NXT. NXT is how I get my wrestling fix. That's it. I mean, if that, or I'll just watch Jerry Lawler's Saturday night's event, and then that's it. That's how I get my wrestling fix.
Yeah.
If I want to see Raw, I'll go to YouTube.
But you got the mark on your date, right? October the 2nd? October the 2nd, TNT, as All Elite Wrestling, unnamed program as of yet. But there's also been a trademark for AEW Revolution. That could be used for a lot of different things. And they're getting ready for their All Out pay-per-view coming up on the 31st. Really looking forward to what happens with All Elite Wrestling. October the 2nd, I think we should plan on trying to maybe do a Facebook Live on the 3rd. That would be kind
of fun. That sounds like a great idea. Where I'm working at right now, there was a guy that's on another line beside me. And I kept looking at his shirt, and I just caught the A, and I said, no, it can't be. And we went to lunch, and I said, hey, dude, come here. AEW. I went, are you kidding me? He goes, I can't wait. I'm a big fan. I said, they haven't even started yet. You're already a fan?
All right.
So everybody's good.
Yeah. Hey, so, what's the situation with going to the NWA event coming up in North Carolina?
That right there is not sold out yet. It's going to cost about $30 to go into the event to see all the wonderful wrestlers. And I am going to do my best to go. I've already made the arrangements to go to it. And I just got to figure out how to do it on my phone, how to do the interview, and, you know, keep going. I'm going to come up with some questions for these people.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun, but I am going to go. I want to go. I don't care what it takes. I am going
to
go.
Well, you maybe get your friend Mike to meet you there. That would be kind of fun for a little reunion, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's in Texas.
Oh, he moved to Texas, huh? I thought he was in North Carolina last time I talked to him.
Yeah, he was in North Carolina, but he got a new job, and now he's moved to Texas.
Okay.
But maybe he can see one of the Von Erichs. No, I don't know.
Well, Kerry's living in Hawaii now, and then his sons are actually wrestling. They do some stuff. Yeah, his sons, I think they do some stuff on some of the independent scenes. I think they've even done MLW. Now, don't quote me on that, but the Von Erich boys, very talented. I saw them one time. I think it was an ROH or maybe Championship Wrestling. No, it was on Impact Wrestling. They made an appearance on that in one of their pay-per-views. So they're out there, so keep an eye out because, you know, the Von Erichs are always entertaining.
Well, here's a little trivia and see if anybody can get this trivia answer here. What was so special about Kerry Von Erich that nobody really knew what happened?
I know.
Of course. And the only way that I found out was through Viceland, the Dark Side of the Mat, or whatever the heck it was. I didn't know that.
You did not know he had lost his foot in a motorcycle accident, huh?
No.
Yeah, he wrestled as the Texas Tornado with a prosthetic.
Well, when he came to the WWF, I didn't know that had happened to him.
Uh-huh.
And you could have never
No.
You never knew.
No.
You had no idea.
Not at all. So.
But that was a very tragic family, though.
Yeah. If you get a chance, if you have Viceland, look up that Darker Side of the Ring. It is heart-wrenching. It is incredible programming and very, very well done. Very well done. So,
Bruiser Brody was it was awesome.
It made you mad, didn't it, about what happened to Bruiser Brody, where he was physically murdered, guys. If you don't know the Bruiser Brody story, he was murdered in Puerto Rico, and they got away with it. They got away with murder in Puerto Rico.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things, if you want to learn a lot about wrestling, just go on to Viceland or go on to YouTube. Just look everything up. And, I mean, if you want to be smart and a mark at the same time. A smark at the same time. Mm-hmm. Keep learning everything about the business and don't worry about who is in charge or who's the greatest. I mean, you have your number one, the greatest of all time wrestler is for you is.
Oh, for me? Boy. That's a tough one for me because there are so many that I've watched over the years. I've enjoyed Jerry Lawler. That's probably one of them you talked about. Mm-hmm. To me, I think overall, for his overall production over the years, I would say Ric Flair.
Well, that's okay.
When he was doing the NWA champion to his days in the Georgia Championship Wrestling, when he was with the Four Horsemen, I loved the Four Horsemen. He lived the lifestyle. He became more of a parody of himself later in his career, but still, he could go up until he really started having a lot more health issues, and I've just enjoyed his career for years.
Well, mine would always probably – well, I got two. I mean, one of them, I don't think you would probably say this is like the greatest of all time, but to me, the Ultimate Warrior – I liked the Warrior's work. It was good. Some of his promos were way off kilter.
There was just a little bit out there, yes.
And the next one would probably be Macho Man Randy Savage.
You know, I was thinking you were going to say that one because Macho Man's probably my top five. We ought to do that sometime. Get all three of us together and maybe get some of the fans to do their top five or top ten. Let's make that a plan, okay?
Let's do that, too. Turnbuckle Trash Heads, what do you think of, let us know in your comments, and what do y'all think about hardcore wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Let's try to do this one time. What do you all think of hardcore wrestling? Does it agree with you, or does it not agree with you? What can it be?
Let's talk the real extreme hardcore, okay?
Yeah, like CZW.
Yeah.
I mean, falling on light bulbs and everything, but that's for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But, man,
yeah,
that's what really put a black eye on professional wrestling.
Yeah. So it's going to be – that will be an interesting discussion. Maybe we'll do that on the next pod. We'll put it out on our Facebook page and our Twitter account, too, and maybe get some comments from some of our our Turnbuckle Trash Heads out there. Chris,
yes.
I imagine your ribs are almost ready, aren't they?
I've already checked on them twice, and they're nice and crispy. And now it's time for me to see if I can burn my lips off by those jalapenos. Are really, everyone in the apartment complex, when I lift up the lid, there's two old guys sitting out there, and they go, my, I smell something good. You're going to stay away from it, too.
You got some nunchucks waiting for them, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I just got the 9mm and just say, stay away. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just joking.
Well, Chris, right, it's been a great talking to you, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Y'all have